Sean Strickland, UFC fighter, sat down with Theo Vaughn and a heartfelt conversation. This was hard for me to watch. I think that he makes a shocking bombshell in this in terms of a time where he didn't believe in God. I wasn't expecting him to say it, but it makes sense in terms of the way he's navigating this conversation. And I'll share some stuff from my own personal life that I think will tie into this a little bit.
That's scary.
So anyways, my dad gets on top of my mom. And she says, like, I remember he said, like, I'm going to kill you tonight. I guess maybe it was just rough sex. We don't know at this moment, right?
And you're under the bed?
I'm under the bed. So he starts strangling her, and I get out, and the only thing I can see is a guitar. I just crack him in the head, call the cops, and then I run down the street, call the cops, gets arrested, my dumbass mom bailed him out of jail.
Oh.
But it's like, I wouldn't even say that's the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
I remember like being a little kid, so I would always miss school because my dad would get home drunk, start drinking at like 6. He would get home at like 7 and like just be up at like 3 a.m. just like
tell
my mom, don't drink in, tell my mom she's a whore, and I kill her. Like, and I remember I used to like,
what a loser, huh? Oh, sorry to say that about your dad. He died
of cancer. But anyways,
he's on a cancer now.
Yeah, he died of cancer. Yeah,
you know, hell, probably from the hate inside of him. Built up. I hate to say that. He lost
pain pills. Why I don't do drugs. So I remember like I used to sit there and just kind of like hug my mom's leg in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we had this little nook and she would like go in the nook and I would just sit there like all night long. I'm by like the feet of my mom and my dad, like, oh, I'm gonna fuck you and this and that. And I'll never forget, like, he would talk about like burning her face with acid. And mind you, I'm in elementary school. I'm in elementary school, right? So, like,
this is, I think there's like 9 traumatic triggers in your adolescence.
Mm.
And so, and this is a huge one. So, there's like being displaced, there's sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one. Witnessing domestic violence is huge. And so I had a very similar situation as a kid, man. I remember my mom was dating this dude. Police get called. One time I remember she was holding a glass and this dude shoved the glass in her face while she was trying to drink it and cracked her open here. And she has a massive scar till this day.
Sheesh.
And the other refugee family had to come and like take care of my mom for like a while she was all jacked up, break up. And they got back together once after that.
Yuck.
So they would like, I remember like in the middle of the night, he'd rev up. We'd be just walking the streets at night trying to get away from him. One time he sat down and literally as a kid, I couldn't have been no older than 8 or 9, told me one day you're going to wake up and I'm going to kill your mom.
Oh.
And like laughed and thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And so I relate to this like more than I think most people can. And it does a number on you. It does a number on you. And so a lot of the stuff he's saying, this is hard for me to get through because a lot of stuff he was saying, I experienced it like very, 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 very firsthand. And it was like bringing back these memories. So this is like this does a number on kids, you know?
It's also weird how like domestic problems have like an archetype.
Mm.
Like I'm going to kill mom isn't just like one crazy person said, mm-hmm. like he has a crazy mm-hmm. dad that said that to his, you know, it's like weird.
Responsibility then you feel probably just to like take care of your mom.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he'd always tell her that like, if you cheat on me, and she probably was cheating on him. If you cheat on me, I'm going to like cut you up and put you in a bottle of acid and bury you. So now you fast forward this, like I don't go to school. I'm up till 3 a.m. And I couldn't stay.
There's a lot of school missed too because of like the fighting and trying to come in and like getting in the way and
And you're sleeping in.
I was too small to do anything, and then you can't.
And then there's no parent keeping you accountable to go to school.
She's not keeping me accountable. I'm too tired to go to school. When I go to school, I'm falling asleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
School, I remember I was like in second grade. And I kept falling asleep at my desk. And my teacher took my desk away from me and she made me like stand up. And so me, I'm like, fuck you, being a little kid, I just went and fell asleep on the ground. And mind you, like the school system's like, oh, Sean, like he's just a bad kid. They don't realize I'm up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know, late. I mean, fuck, dude,
it's hard to stay up late and learn.
Dude, I remember like laying in bed. Like I remember I stopped believing God, man. Like I had, it's crazy shit, dude. Crazy shit, man.
Yeah. It's okay, man. It's a lot of that sad.
So he says, I remember when I stopped believing in God. And then he this is really hard to write. He breaks down and is like, needs a moment.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he said it around, like he said all this stuff about his mom. And then he says, and then I start believing. And I wonder what that was. I wonder if it was just, it was culminating and then he has the breakdown, or if it was something about saying the words, I stopped believing in God.
Yeah.
To be scared at night, like I used to stand up, like I heard when I was a kid that like, if you peed around your, like animals could pee somewhere that other animals wouldn't come. You know what I'm talking about?
He's trying to
make it light. You know what I'm talking about? Huh?
Yeah, man. I got
it. Have you ever heard that?
This is brutal.
Yeah, I'm sorry, bud.
So,
he couldn't even get through the joke.
I'm sorry, buddy.
That's all good, dude.
Theo Von's a champ for this, bro.
Dude. This is his pocket, though. His pocket is like uncomfortable conversations, yeah, but like awkwardly deep during them.
Yeah.
And like that's how he built his whole thing. Yeah, so it's like he pulls it out of out of people like
this. This is he's a great interviewer for this.
Sheesh.
We don't have to talk, man. I'm gonna sit here with you for a minute. I'm gonna sit here. We can just sit here.
It's all good. You're 6 seconds. I just process it. I think some of the hard things that people don't understand, like trauma, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes it just comes out.
Oh, no, dude. Like, I remember I have a hole in my gum. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to scratch my gum, and I have a hole in my gum. You know,
just from being nervous and stuff?
Nah, just anxiety, you know? Yeah, even to this day. Yeah. I mean, the day, dude, like, I'm a grown man. I don't give a fuck. I mean, you could post this. I don't care.
Oh, dude, I don't have any.
No, it's all good, dude. I mean, it's what it is, dude. Like, it is what it is. Like, people understand. Like, when I talk about, like, oh, I killed a man, it's like, you don't understand, dude. Like, when you go through that level of trauma, like, you just view the world differently, you know? So it's like, I have a hole in my gum because I'd have so much anxiety as a kid. I would just scratch my gum until, like, jeez, I mean, just blood, you know? And, you know, you're like, you're in pre-elementary school. You don't know why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like, you know, like, you don't even know what it is when you're a kid. When you're really talking about, like, being a little kid, like, laying in bed, like, just, like, man, I'm just, I'm done with this shit. You know, like, there can't be a God.
That makes me sad.
Yeah, dude.
No, it just makes me sad that a kid has to feel that way, you know?
Yeah, so, like,
any kid.
Whenever Dreykus goes on there and, like, he jokes about that shit.
Right.
Like, dude, you have no idea. Yeah, I mean, and this is, like, as a comedian, you got to joke about trauma. Like, people think, like, I joke about all this shit, like, you know, as we're laughing. Like, you got to joke about it. If you don't, like, how do you process that? You know, how do you process that kind of abuse?
Great interview. Shout out to Theo Von. You guys should, if you want to watch more of that, we'll link it below. But, you know, I was thinking about this, and this is a really interesting thing, right? So he says, process this. I think this, so, like, having experienced very similar things, I think that, like, finding Jesus and having a support system and having the church and not just like Jesus in the church, but like Jesus to church and thoughts that help me process this and help me go to therapy and help me talk through this stuff and help me have a support group. I think all these things are huge. But I think for me, I felt that. And I remember at like 11, 10, 11, 12, saying the same thing, like, there's no God, because if there's a God, there's no way he loves me because of all the terrible things that happened to me. And then I slowly started coming around to the idea of God and going from atheist to theist and acknowledging that the story of Joseph, right? The story of Joseph where he has his brothers sell him into slavery and all this crazy stuff happens. And at the end of his life, he goes, that which you meant for evil, God used for good. Right. And that's like a reoccurring theme all throughout the scripture. If you read the scripture, it's just a consistent theme of like terrible things that are used for good. People making terrible mistakes and yet God turning it around. And I think there's something in that resonated that. And so despite going through these same things, my life wanted a much healthier trajectory. This tweet I found interesting. Sean Strickland said, I'll make fun of Christians. And they say, Sean, someday Jesus will come in your life and save you. Come to church with me. I make fun of Muslims and it's straight death threats. Y'all can't we all just get along? LOL. Isn't it interesting that he notices the strong distinction between both faiths? Like a Christian can be ridiculed and then be like, yo.
Like, it's okay. Just come.
You're gonna come to church with me one day. You're gonna be all right, right? And so I hope for Sean that he does come to church someday and that he does give his life to Jesus. I couldn't really find where he is now. Like he said, I stopped believing in God. And so it's not like it's a hindsight, or if he still doesn't believe in God, it sounds like he's still making fun of Christians online, which is fine.
But it sounds like he almost recognizes that he doesn't believe in God, maybe because out of some spiteful moment.
Oh yeah.
That he in hindsight recognizes it's because of trauma.
Yep.
Not necessarily because of an apologetic
sure.
or so it's like I wonder if there is a level of working through trauma that would bring him back to Christ or bring him to Christ.
Yeah, or understanding that the Christian story is one of trauma. Like it's like Jesus literally takes trauma, and the most tragic thing that ever could happen to the perfect man is done for the betterment of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not die but have eternal life. John 3:6, like God is giving over for our sins and dealing with things that we would never be able to deal, right? So there's that aspect of it. But here's a thought that I had. Like, if you think about, like, we're in this really interesting time and place, especially in America or the West in general, where we have this immense access to prosperity, to resource, to technology, shelter, food, right? And so 200-300 years ago, most people were just like working on a farm, hunting and gathering, doing something, working in a factory to literally just scrape by and survive, right? Like you were working, your kids were probably, if you had a farm, your kids were working on a farm. If you were in a factory, your kids were probably working in a factory, right? And people were just trying to survive, right? Now we're in this very interesting intersection of society where the access to technology and access to resource and access to all these things allows for this sort of crazy trauma, right? Like trauma 500 years ago would be like you're in the wild and you get attacked by someone or someone comes and robs you from another tribe. Now it's people within your own household. Why? Because the dad in the situation had enough resource to, I guess, pay for the bills, but also get drunk every day. That's not cheap.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about it, like to be an alcoholic is not cheap. To do drugs is not cheap. Mm-hmm. Now, at some point, your life slides into complete debauchery and you could be homeless or whatever, but to initially be able to like be a functional alcoholic or a functional drug addict, which comes, that ain't cheap. And so it's fascinating that like that, this is where we are in history. The fact that someone can eat themselves to death, the fact that someone can drink themselves to death, the fact that someone could do drugs, the fact that someone could, right? That's crazy to think about. And that's where we are. And this is so unique to this era. This probably wouldn't have been possible 1,000 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like to have enough resource to be like, I'm going to work. So it's like, it's that same perversion thing. Like instead of us taking sober inventory and be like, man, we are in such a privileged position in the West to have the capacity, the ability to earn excess. And instead of taking that excess and giving it to a church or helping the poor or saving to buy a home that you could pass down to your kids, instead of doing that, you just squander it away on self-destructive activities.
Yikes.
Right? Until, I said functional, right? Most folks don't stay functional alcoholics or drug addicts, right? But that window, and then you potentially die or you just completely implode and your life falls apart, right?
And then Christians out here talking about not having goals.
Right. That's how dark sin is. Like, that's how deceptive sin is. It's like, it could take the opportunity that we have to be alive in this diamond place and to do that. And so, to tie it back into goals and having a trajectory and direction for your life, it's like, if you don't, what is it going to become? And if you just, and if you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to be mediocre for Jesus, like, what a waste. Like, what a waste to squander being alive here and now.
We have too much time and too much energy nowadays to not have goals.
To not have goals, but to just, not use our resource for good.
Exactly.
Not use the time, talent, and treasure we have for good so that maybe I partner with ministries that help prevent situations like that from other 7 and 8 year olds having to go through what I had to go through.
Yeah.
That takes resource. That takes money. That takes access. That takes my bills being paid so that I could go help other people, or I could, or like I could be the hands and feet of Jesus, or I could be a foster parent, or I could open up my home.
Yeah.
Like that takes abundance, you know? And so it's just like, yeah, man. So anyway, great job for Theo Vaughn and great job for them for holding out. We see according to the Bible that prayer is extremely important in terms of us being transformed from the inside out when we get aligned with God's will. For the Christians watching this channel, I want you guys to implement these spiritual disciplines in your day-to-day life. And the only way I've been able to do this consistently is through writing down my prayers in a prayer journal that does a few things. One, it allows me to reflect and come to God humbly and ask him to move on my behalf. And two, it allows me to document my prayers, which ultimately helped me remember the very things that I was praying for and see the hand of God tangibly in my life when he answers them. So I would urge you, consider writing down your prayers. It could be in a blank notebook. It could even be on your phone. Or you could check out the one I personally designed and used for my own quiet time and spiritual discipline that I think will be a huge blessing. It's the exact structure and system that I've used for years to pray and be more consistent in my spiritual disciplines. You can pick yours up today by clicking the link in the pinned comment below. All right, I'll see you over there. Peace.